parted.
Well, it's another week, and this is Andrew Wood, joined as always by friend and pastor Jason Hayes, and here we find ourselves once again.
Between Sundays.
Between the Sundays.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I am, I'm excited about another week ahead, man.
Yeah, it is. We are inching closer and closer to Vol football.
Yes.
Which is good.
Should we be excited or should we not?
I have no idea.
We're uncertain at this point.
It's one of those things where as every year, as the season approaches, I go through phases. And when it gets closer, I'll go through a phase of we're going to be undefeated.
Correct.
And about halftime of the first game, I bet we're going to lose every single game.
Yeah, it is right around this time of the season that I think I really wish I had season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's two games in, and I think I'm so glad I didn't make that purchase. So, yeah.
But if you made a purchase of season tickets,
good for you.
Then that's fine. We'll talk about that here in a second.
In addition to Vol football, it's a big week in my life and your life. And the reason that is because two rather large things are happening.
Yeah.
And both of these things completely discredit any coolness that might have ever been attributed to us, which I know is very little.
That's true.
Very little. But this week is one of my favorite weekends of the year, and it is actually the neighborhood garage sale.
Yeah, that is the most American suburban thing I've ever heard.
And so the neighborhood garage sale is happening on my end, and it's my understanding that there is a new possession in the Wood household.
The Wood family, many of you know, I lead Hope Resource Center, and that's a pro-life ministry here in Knoxville. And
an incredible ministry.
And so what we did this past weekend as a family is took our pro-lifeness
to the next level.
We jumped a few levels. And so many were saying, well, you have four children now. When are you getting a minivan? And I laughed at that.
Yes.
And instead, I just jumped right over that. And we now own a 12-passenger van.
Good grief.
It looks just like a church van.
Does it say So-and-so Baptist Church on the side?
I'm thinking about doing Wood Baptist Church or just the Wood family, the Wood Quartet.
The Quartet would be really strong.
It was a life changer.
Sure your wife is excited.
My wife is pumped about us owning a
12-passenger. And we say that in the most sarcastic ever.
We got out of the other day and I said, everybody has mocked us, but when they want a ride, they're going to ask us for a ride. And
correct.
And Aaron looked at me and said, I'm mocking us. And I said, okay, well, what's ours now?
So, well, I would imagine we have a decent amount of viewers that drive a minivan.
Sure.
And so obviously, a little bit smaller, but of great value.
Great.
And we no longer have a minivan. We did have our season with a minivan. My three boys are a little bit older. They can now crawl to the back and do all of those things. But on day one, when we first purchased our minivan, my wife cried. The next day, it only took 24 hours. She's like, this thing's amazing.
Yeah.
This thing's amazing.
Well,
it's so functional.
I was always opposed to a minivan.
Right.
But when I go and when I ride with my brother who has a minivan, I'm constantly going, wow, it's got a compartment here. And look, you can open the doors with the push of a button, and they're not banging into the cars next to them.
So many features.
It's very practical.
So
but it looks
features.
Like to me over the years, some designer would have made them cooler.
Yeah, not so much.
There's not much you can do.
Man, so between the van and the garage sale this weekend, it is a strong week between Sundays.
We're aging. That's what that means. The neighborhood garage sale.
We just lost the 19 to 39 demographic,
but what are these guys doing?
We are picking up numbers among our senior friends
in mass. We welcome you right now.
We do welcome you.
Yeah. So today, what we want to do as we talk about the acquiring a new item or in a garage sale, getting rid of some items, we're going to talk about materialism and what that looks like for the Christian. How do we operate in our lives? What do we consider is good? What's considered bad? Who considers that? Who sets the bar for that? And are there some things we can look at in our own lives and say, look, this is probably something that I didn't necessarily need, or it's taking me away from kingdom stuff.
How do we feel about that segue we just did there? Would we give ourselves like a 7, I mean, or an 8 out of 10?
I think that was a pretty good one.
It wasn't easy, but you did a good job with it.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. So we're talking about an important topic. I mean, this is so much as to what our world focuses so much of their energies on, about getting more stuff, acquiring more stuff, accomplishing more things. And really today, it's not so much about accolades, but really about possession.
Sure.
And really, every one of these weeks, we go back to a simple principle, and it's that rightness and righteousness and correctness is not deemed and established by man. It's established by God. And this is one of those topics that just sits at the top of that list. I mean, there are people everywhere around us that say, it is completely appropriate for me to put my hope, my joy, the happiness that I have in my life, my earthly satisfaction, all of these things, and put them right on the shoulders of possession and wealth and materialism. But obviously, as we see in Scripture, that's not where we're supposed to be.
Well, and just when we were texting back and forth about what to talk about this week, you know, I said a good topic because I obviously have no issues with materialism.
Yeah, of course.
Sarcastically.
When we both stepped into ministry, all of that stuff went away. There was never a temptation towards.
Yeah, I don't. We live in that 12 passenger van. That's why we bought it. No, but as we look through these things, it's a struggle for everyone. Even when you know, if you read David Platt's book Radical, or you read some of these things and you go, wow, I need to get rid of some stuff. Even Platt would say, I'm not telling you to go sell everything.
Right.
I'm just saying, do an inventory. Where are we putting our hope? Where are we putting our focus? And if it's on acquiring more, then that's a problem. That's in the way. And I think all of us struggle with that, whether we're in ministry or not in ministry. We have those moments of maybe you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Who has what, and how can you compare? And that's just a dangerous place to be.
Exactly. It's funny you mentioned David Platt, who's a friend of mine, and we spoke at an event together the summer right after the book Radical had released. And at that point, I think it hit New York Times bestseller. I mean, it was everywhere.
It's a great book.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it was being discussed by everyone, small groups, individuals, the whole deal. And I can remember him, I don't want to misquote him, but saying something to the extent of, we may be getting some results that really weren't the intent of what I was aiming, you know. And what he was saying is that there's some people that just, they either overcorrected or they just were radical for radical sake. Mm-hmm. We don't just say, I'm picking up and moving to Botswana, and then, you know, us in ministry say, well, so do you know anyone in Botswana?
Right.
Do you know anything about the language, the culture? Have you been there before? Well, no, I just got to go and be radical. I got to be sacrificial. In the same way, we're not asking people to look at physical possession and just throw it away blindly. That is not the goal. In fact, we're going to talk about, to some degree, really the opposite of that today. But what we do want to do is we want to look at it correctly, and we want to make sure it doesn't become something that's pulling us away from the things of God. Instead, we want it to be something that the Lord uses in the midst of the kingdom.
Yeah, and I think too, being willing to have that conversation with yourself, with your spouse, with your family, you know, is this whatever? Are we putting our hope in things of this world, or are we looking to the kingdom and how we can impact the kingdom? And so we can do that by with our funds. We can do that with our time. So there's a number of different factors there. But we first have to be honest with ourselves, and even at times be willing to say, yeah, that was probably a dumb move. That was probably a stupid purchase. That probably wasn't, you know, I think back when I first got married, we were 22 years old. I was selling insurance at a bank. I was still in college and
aspiring for a van someday.
Yeah, one day.
Like, one day, I will get that van.
And I remember Aaron getting her student loan information, and we looked at it and said, yes, we will take all of that, every bit that's offered, even though we didn't need all of that
Sign
to go
up.
To school. And so we were living off some of it, which is terrible. Dave Ramsey is is really angry at me right now for saying that. But it was, we can look back at those moments and go, we were stupid and we made terrible decisions there and we learned from them. And so are we willing to look in the mirror and go, yeah, I need to correct this. Yeah. I made a bad move there. Or are we really look and say, that was a good purchase. That made sense. It helped here or whatever, but not everything you do, not everything you buy is sinful or anything like that.
Right.
And I think sometimes people go to the extreme and go, well, I sinned when I bought this house or I sinned when I bought this vehicle. But the reality is what is our main focus
in
all of that?
And we talk every week about the cultural context in which we live and we immediately think, well, that means the secular marketplace. But candidly, let's call a spade, the church at times has given as bad of counsel and has spoken about the things of wealth and prosperity as poorly as anyone in the secular marketplace. And we see things like the prosperity gospel. Hey, if I just love Jesus a little bit more, then I'm never going to be in need. If I've just got a little bit more faith and, you know, my pocketbook and my, you know, my checking account are all going to flourish. That is not the gospel. And so what we're trying to really focus on today is that Jesus isn't really the means to what we want. He is what we want. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear a lot of preaching and teaching that's almost, hey, you go and pursue the things of the world, and you allow Jesus to be your magic formula. You allow him to be your secret sauce. He's going to be the one that gets you to all of those things you're desiring. And yet, no, what we see in Scripture is that Jesus is the one we're supposed to be desiring. And when we desire Jesus and we put our focus and our hope on him, then really things like possession and wealth just look different. It doesn't mean they're bad.
Right.
It just means they look different.
Well, and also being willing in those moments to say everything that I have is ultimately his. And so how are we having conversations about, you know, Dave Ramsey, I don't know why I've talked about him multiple times today, but he would say every dollar has a name.
Right.
And so ultimately what we should be doing is saying everything we have is for the kingdom. Now, what does that look like? How can we use the things that the Lord has given us, the blessings, the you know, whether it be a great job or wealth, how can we use those in the kingdom? How can we use those at our church with our friends? In dance lessons with Jason's dancing right now.
I'm dancing right here.
This is your new beat that you came out with, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a mixtape coming out next week.
We'll continue the discussion.
We'll be back. So as we continue our conversation on materialism, we just got through talking that Jesus is not our means to what we want. He should be what we actually want. And so,
right.
So as we look at this, Jason, you had a great quote from John Piper. If you don't know who John Piper is,
it's
I don't know what
worth
to take.
Checking out.
Google him, but this quote does a great job of putting into perspective kind of the everything in terms of a gospel person.
Right, and we're talking about in this book, God is the Gospel. He's talking about heaven, but it really speaks towards the desires of our heart. And so here's the quote. It says, the critical question for our generation and for every generation is this. If you could have heaven with no sickness and with all the friends that you ever had on earth and all the food you ever liked and all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed and all the natural beauties you ever saw and all the physical pleasures you ever tasted, and no human conflict or any natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Jesus or Christ was not there? And that is an interesting thought for us. Are we saying, Jesus, we just want you so that you can give us all of that stuff that sounds wonderful? Or do we believe truly Jesus is the one that is wonderful? And again, we keep everything else in perspective, and it stands in far contrast compared to the glory of Christ. And so what we have to be mindful of, money isn't good, it's not bad, it is neutral. And we always have to be cautious. I'll I often people ask us about the church. I'm the pastor of Shoreline Church in West Knoxville, and people will come up and say, "Hey, we hear God is blessing you guys in tremendous ways." And I'll kind of ask, "What do you mean?" And I'm not being a jerk about it. I'll just, "What have you heard?" Or "Who do you know? What's your connection to us?" And inevitably, it is always connected with growth. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I want to say is that we are very grateful that we are growing as a church. We're grateful that, our numbers on Sunday mornings are increasing, because the reason we value that is because we think it's representative of life change. But God is not good because our church is growing. Mm-hmm. the easy answer for me to say is, well, God's good. He's been kind to us. He's gracious. Well, if our church was on the decline, he's still good, he's still kind, and he's still gracious. And so that's where we have to be careful, even in our speak about our material possession. Mm-hmm. Well, man, hey, it's a beautiful new home you've got. Well, God's been really kind to us. He's been gracious to us. So in other words,
not to
for the person that doesn't have that nice new home, he's not kind to you. And that is what we have to be careful of. And it's really good-hearted people that are trying to keep things in perspective, but that is dangerous language. Rather, these things are neutral. We just can't turn them into idols. Again, not good, not bad, really neutral. They can be used for the glory of God. They can also be used to pull us away from God.
Well, and as anything we turn into an idol is bad, and pointing us in the wrong direction. And I'll just say, from a standpoint of someone that leads a nonprofit, I'm thankful for those that have wealth. I'm thankful we wouldn't be able to impact at Hope Resource Center since 1997 over 25,000 patients if it weren't for those that had wealth.
Right.
People that donate and make our work possible. And so we celebrate the fact that those things are occurring in people's lives. But what happens is when we finally realize, okay, we can sit down, we have this good job, or we have this wealth, or frankly, even if you haven't accumulated what the world would call wealth, if you look at it across, if you live in America, you are wealthy.
That's right.
You are part of the one. When you talk about one percenters, if you live in this country, you are the 1%.
And my hunch is, based on kind of our viewing audience, we very well may be even in the upper echelon of the 1%.
And so as we look at that, what we have to do is go, okay, now how can I impact the kingdom with this good job? You really will never be generous unless you're generous.
Right.
And so I hear people say all the time, well, when I finally get that one job, when I'm making 100 grand a year, that's when I'll be generous.
Right.
No, you won't. Because you haven't created that in your life, even when you didn't have much. And so how can we, you're not going to be generous with 100,000 if you weren't generous with 10,000.
Right.
And so we have to, as a people, as Christians, go, everything's on the table. What have we been placed here to do and to impact?
I want to ask you this question. So as a leader of a nonprofit, do you battle some of the same things that I do as a pastor of a church? We're going to talk, momentarily about how do we keep things in perspective? How do we steward our resources well for the glory of God? But is it a tough battle for you of thinking, am I even supposed to have stuff? What is appropriate? What's right? And maybe, I mean, there's nothing, every week I have our weekly segment, which is Confessions of a Local Pastor.
Right.
But there's nothing that makes me kind of pull back more than for me to take my family on vacation and someone say, man, it must be nice to be in the ministry. And you're like, we didn't go on a 4-month, hiatus to Switzerland. We went to the beach for a week where Carrie's mom lives. This is what we did. But there's this, I think to some degree, certain people's stereotypes of what ministry is supposed to look like. We probably have some things in our own mind, but really just for the average Christian, how do they reconcile the reality that many of these folks really are in the 1%. Are we supposed to feel embarrassed by that? Are we supposed to feel ashamed by that? What are your thoughts?
I would say, first of all, I would say yes. I mean, there are many times when I'm sitting and going, we don't need this, or maybe we shouldn't have this, or and that's not like me looking out in the driveway and going, my Tesla, I don't need this Tesla.
The spinners
today.
You put, you know, on the van.
That's not. But it's looking around and going, what I try to do is look and say, are we creating a lifestyle that shows our children and that shows our family, that shows others that we are not just about elevating the Wood family,
right?
But we are about elevating the kingdom. And so that means that, yes, we will have a house to live in. We may even have what some would call luxuries that you don't necessarily need.
Right.
But are there moments in our life, and are there a lot of dollars that we also point to other places to impact the kingdom? And it's important that regardless of what end of the spectrum you're on, whether super wealthy or middle class, or even a little bit, maybe you're a college student listening to this and going, I don't have a lot, but how are we being generous with our time and with our money? And because if you are not being generous with the little that you've got, you're not going to be generous. When I talk about things of going, well, I know that I'm part of a ministry, and so I feel like I need to explain to you how we ended up with this, or even you off air, we were talking about online giving, and I think sometimes when the bucket passes, I want to go, I give online, I promise I give, but I know you're not seeing me put money in this bucket every Sunday.
If you just want to start putting your phone in there, that would be great.
But I feel like there's this, because we feel like we have to explain things, but that's not what we're talking about today.
Right.
What we're talking about today is being willing to say, how can we impact the kingdom with what we have?
Yeah, so let me actually mention what we were talking about off air about this online giving deal. And one of the things that, as the pastor of a local church, obviously we need resources and we need generosity.
Sure.
But much more importantly, we're trying to instill the biblical disciplines of giving and generosity in people's hearts and those that are connected to our church. And one of the things we talk about is online giving is this incredible tool. What a great tool.
Yeah.
You know, you forget and here it comes. But the only real challenge with that, and one thing that Carrie and I have to be careful of, is if we're not careful, it becomes something that we never consider. It's happening every month, but it's not something that we're putting under really the authority of God. We're not being submissive to the Spirit of God in terms of, or at least in the realm of, our finances and its relationship to the local church. And that's dangerous. And the reason that it's dangerous is because our money isn't just something that we can maximize more for the kingdom. We're going to talk about this when we get back. But it's also something that can really, really pull us away from the kingdom. We're not saying that wealth and fame, or I should better say wealth or possession are things to be ashamed of or embarrassed of. They're just things we have to be really, really cautious of. And we have to make sure they're under the Spirit and they're under things that we're really considering. God, what do you want for us in this?
Jason, I'll go live in a second. I'm buying something on Amazon Prime.
How are you?
Yeah,
great.
Yeah,
let me quickly purchase. Yeah, add me onto there.
Okay,
as well.
All right. That'd be great. Yeah, so as we talk about materialism and as we talk about our dollars, we were talking off air that how it's so much easier now to buy stuff.
Right.
I mean, you know, I think back to my grandparents and they saved every penny. They saved whipped cream containers.
Correct.
They saved everything.
Yes.
And they.
My understanding that the Sears catalog was actually used as toilet paper in my grandparents' home at one point.
There you go.
Which is pretty spectacular.
You know, it's used in the Woodhouse.
Still today.
Yeah. And so in the van, that's right. So nowadays it's so much easier. It's, you know, yes, some generations before us, some would argue we're better, but the fact remains that now today it's just so much easier. We have access to, you name it,
anything.
You can find it. The other day we were shutting the back glass of one of our vehicles and a little hinge broke.
Right.
And I need this screw that I called all these places. Nobody had it. Guess who had it? Amazon.
Of course.
And so,
of course.
And so it's so much easier
and
now.
And they can have it for you
in a few couple days.
In a day.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as we look at that, we understand. You know, I hope people hear our show and don't say, well, they just think they have it all together. No, I was joking about shopping on Amazon, right. But I will probably do that here in a little while.
Yeah. Well,
and so it's
a
struggle.
Truly. In fact, we'll have a guest host here in the next week or two because I'll be in India. The show will be exponentially better while I'm gone, but I'm going to be in India. And if you by chance happen to be listening and know where we live, I would appreciate you not to stop by my home, scare my family or anything of that sort while I'm out of country. But it's so easy to even rationalize expenses. You know, I'm flipping around. I'm like, you know what? I think I do need a $30 pair of compression socks for that long flight. And, you know, a battery powered fan would be fantastic. And fortunately, I've not made those purchases, and probably won't in light of talking about it on air. But man, it is so easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, I can grab that. Yeah, I do need that. Of course. I mean, heck, this is for ministry. I mean, it's buy, and buy really easily.
Yeah. And some of that is awesome. I mean, it was awesome that I was able to find that screw for the window because I couldn't find it anywhere else.
Correct.
And I could spend $16 and it could be here. I don't even know where it's shipping from, but I'm going to get it in the next day or so. And so there's some good things with that. But what we have to do is practically look at this and go, okay, what are some things that we can do in our own lives? And we try to do this every week by giving practical tips that not only for you, but for us to hear as well, practical tips to make sure that we are not falling victim to materialism, not turning our dollars into idols and losing focus of really what we have been placed here to do.
Yeah.
So what are some ways that we could do that, Jason?
You know, I think maybe one place to start is you just have to find some margin. I mean, you've got to find some margin. And we're going to talk momentarily about kind of creating an identity as a giver, as someone that's generous rather than just a spender. But the only way that you can ever give, the only way you can be generous with your possessions is if you have a little bit of margin. I think often about how many times I've been driving down the road and you see someone in some situation and you think that lady is alongside the road and needs help. And I'm not talking just about, you know, the homeless community. I mean, it could be a single mom who's trying to change a tire on the side of the road, or it is someone connected to the homeless population here in Knoxville. I mean, it could be any number of circumstances, situations, and you see a need. And what do we often do? We immediately look at our watch. We look at the clock on the dashboard and we think, I'm late for a meeting. Mm-hmm. I've got to go. I'm so behind already as it is. Today, I mean, legitimately today, leaving the church today, I was going to pick up my oldest son and I was hopping. I mean, I needed to get there. I didn't have a lot of time and I'm pulling out of, or no, let me phrase it. I'm getting into my truck and I hear, "Hey man." And I'm like, "Whoa." And I'm thinking, which one of our staff members is referencing to me as, "Hey
right.
man."
Yeah.
And what it is a construction worker connected to a project that we're doing. Mm-hmm. He's on property and he shouts out to me, "Can you give me a jump?" And I'm thinking, I absolutely need to give this guy a jump. He's got a dead battery. And yet I'm thinking, I do not have time to do this. Yeah, exactly. I've got a buddy that's got a van and it would be fantastic. You know, let me call him, you know, but I'm thinking, I don't have the margin to help. And the same principle is true for us when it comes to our finances, right? We want to be generous people. No one sets out and says, you know what I want to do is hoard all my stuff.
Right.
And when the person calls and says, I want to go to summer camp this, you know, this upcoming June. Sorry, I can't scholarship you. I want to go to Romania on a mission trip. Sorry, can't help to that. Hey, I want to do something for the cystic fibrosis, you know, walk downtown. Can't help you. Why? Because there's no margin.
Yeah.
And we've got to start to think about, all right, we don't just spend what we earn. We've got to begin to say, we're going to truly put everything under the lens of the gospel, and we're going to begin to say, what do we really need, as opposed to, I just got to make sure everything balances back out at the end of the month. What do you think?
Yeah, anytime this topic is discussed, excuse me, I go back to my granddad, Duke Hamilton.
What an amazing name. That was your granddad?
He is my granddad.
My grandfather was Chester.
Oh, wow.
And I also had a Gray. So between Gray and Chester and Duke, let's pretty establish good. That Jason and Andrew are the dumbest names ever. Nowhere as cool as those names.
Definitely not as cool. Well, my granddad's, some people call him Dookie, which is a little weird, but Duke is definitely a lot better.
Basically just negated my entire
But my granddad used to, I remember him sitting me down, and we were, I think it was right after I got married, and my granddad's been married to my grandmama for almost 60 years.
Awesome.
And he looked at me and he said, you know how granddads are. Andrew, you know what the problem is with your generation? That's how he led.
Which one, Dad? Which one?
And I said, he said, you want what me and your grandmama have right now at 22, and it's taken us 50 years to accumulate. So you want the house, you want the car, you want the yard, you want all of these things. But that's going to take time.
We want Christmas morning every day of our life.
Yeah, and so for my generation, that is exactly. We looked at our grandparents, we looked at them and said, that's what I want, but I don't want to take 50 years. I don't want to work the same job and then retire and take all this time and put all these kids through school and do all of these things. We want it right now. And the reality is, if you do that, if that is your sole focus, there will be no margin,
right?
Because everything's going to be wrapped up in what you can accumulate today. Instead of saying, maybe we do need that, but we can set out a few years down the road and we will have that. But we really could put those funds here today and make a difference in the kingdom.
Yeah, man. As a parent, I mean, this is the world we live in, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we are constantly trying to teach our children that you don't deserve everything.
You know, you hear that, Gavin?
Yeah. Hey, buddy, you listen up right now. I'm sure you're tuning in. But no, I mean, we went to the Smokies game last night. We were.
Must be nice to be in ministry.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Exactly right. We went to the Smokies game, and I've got a buddy that works for the Smokies, and you know what he did? He found a couple foul balls that were in a closed off area that the average person couldn't get to, and he brought us a couple foul balls.
Wow.
You know, and although while we're super grateful for that, I had to even remind my middle son, hey man, like not everyone got balls. Like you need to be really thankful for this. This isn't just the expectation that when you go to the ball game, you get to go sit in a special spot and enjoy Taco Tuesday and get a couple foul balls. That is not the norm. And yet, what happens is we look around based on either what our older family members have acquired. We look at what is seen on television. We kind of buy into the spin of social media, and it seems like everyone's got all these things. And thus, we come away with this I deserve mentality, and we have got to refute that, not only individually, but we've got to refute that to the next generation as parents. We've got to.
And so as we – some of that, I oftentimes feel convicted because I look at my children and say, you have to be grateful. You're not being grateful. I might have said at one point, you are the most ungrateful children in Knoxville, maybe
in this
on
very
the
moment, there are children starving. I mean, yes.
So all of those things, but usually where I'm convicted is I'm going, where are they learning this ungratefulness?
Correct.
Are they learning this from Dad? Are they learning this from Mom? Are they learning from us how to be ungrateful and not appreciate things? Are we creating moments in our house to be grateful? Are another practical thing that you can do? And you could bring your whole family and let them know this is going to happen. But we try every Christmas to go out to a restaurant and leave a stupid big tip.
Yeah.
Now, that can be defined by some people have the wealth that may be a really large tip.
Right.
But that's whatever works for you. But tell your kids Let them understand this is why we're doing this. So we have margin in our life so that we can help this person that's a waiter today, or so that we can hand money to someone that needs something today. Yeah. And if those are just practical things that we can put into place where our families can see, look, okay, they're trying here.
Yeah, we're trying to do something right now that it's really been the last couple of years. We've begun to shift a bit away from kind of gifts, you know, holidays and birthdays. We're really trying to replace a lot of gift giving with experience giving. And one of the things one of the reasons we're doing that is because we're trying to not associate and connect every special moment in our life with either spending money or acquiring something. So, hey, we want to have a special night out. Well, then obviously you got to go and have an expensive meal. You know, hey, we want to celebrate so-and-so. So obviously he has to get something. No, we want to say we can still celebrate people. Mm-hmm. We can still enjoy ourselves without necessarily having to always spend a couple hundred bucks every pop. Yeah. That's a tough lesson to learn for not just our kids, but for mom and dad.
Absolutely. We'll be back. So every between Sundays, you hear the music coming in that we usually make jokes and say that we wrote it. But Chuck Hooten does that. And is Chuck going to be the guest host?
Is that the plan?
Well, maybe.
I was about to say that is confirmed, but an official invitation will be required before that is confirmed.
He will probably be the guest host in a couple weeks. Yeah. Me and Chuck will be here. But what we're trying to do today is talk through materialism and really get us to a place of practically looking at our finances, at everything we have, and kind of putting it on the table and saying, okay, where's the Lord leading me here?
Right.
Now, for some of you, that may mean overseas. For some of you, it may mean just being more engaged in your suburb, your city, in your apartment complex, on the campus, whatever that looks like. But how are we looking at everything that we have and saying, okay, this is for the kingdom?
That's a really good point, because our tendency is that this whole discussion is about what do I need to get rid of. Mm-hmm. But Carrie and I believe really wholeheartedly. In fact, I used to write a column in a magazine called The Power of the Home, and we believe in the value of the home. It is our greatest financial asset. But it really can be so many things. It can be an outpost of the local church. It can be this hub for community. And so it's not always like, well, I'm feeling conviction about what I got, so what I need to do is go and sell my house. Mm-hmm. No, I might need to be thinking about, okay, so how do I better need to utilize this house? I've got a dear friend in this community that built a large home. And the question could have been by some, well, is that a good stewardship of your money? And he clearly said from the beginning, this home is going to be used for a lot of stuff. Like we want to continually host church events. We want to bring leaders into this home. We want it to be a retreat for people. And I can tell you, it is in 6.5 years of our ministry as a church. I mean, it's like one of our secondary spaces. It's like a Sunday school room. I mean, we don't do Sunday school, but it has been used for so many life group meetings. It has been used for so many leader gatherings. It has been used for Christmas staff parties. And so again, it's not always about what do we get rid of. Sometimes it's what do we take that we have, and how do we use it to serve others and to glorify Christ?
And a lot of times it starts with simply being willing to ask that question to yourself. And not you know, saying, well, so-and-so has done this or they've done that. Just looking and taking inventory of what you have and your finances, looking at your checking account, looking at your credit card bills and looking at other bills and going, okay, how can we impact the kingdom? And maybe you're sitting here and going, it sounds nice to say have margins, but I don't have it right now.
Right.
So, okay, let's say you don't have margins right now financially, but can you open your home to more people? Can you,
if you can't share a check, can you share a skill set? Can you share a talent? Can you share a few hours? Can you share an experience that you've had with other people? I mean, what could you share?
And so that when we talk about this, it isn't just you know, what you can do with your money, but it's looking at what you have currently and how can we impact the kingdom? How can we impact our local church? How can we be better stewards of what we have? Maybe you have some things and you're just not being a real good steward of those things. How can we be better stewards of those things? And so we would hopefully, this is just encouraging you to look at those things and go, yeah, maybe we need to make room for a trip to India next year.
Right.
Maybe we need to make room to go to the orphanage in Africa next year.
Right.
But right now we can't do that. But right. What do we need to do between now and next summer to make sure that's going to be a reality?
Right. And it's so easy. Again, this is so easy to fall into legalistic thought. All right. So these things are allowed. These things are not allowed. Mm-hmm. These things are allowed. I cannot tell you what you should or shouldn't have. Now, if you're a preacher and you're coming in and saying, I need a $5 million jet, that's going to be my exception.
Right.
I'm going to say you don't need that.
You
know, but for the majority of our listeners, I can't tell you what you need and what you don't need. What I think we would say to you is that we want you to seek an identity, not so much as a spender or an acquirer, but rather an identity as a giver. And so again, whether that is with things that come from your checkbook, or whether it is your time, your energy, your talents, your passions, really put everything you have under the guides of Christ and say, I'm going to be submissive to His Spirit, and we consider how do we use it to bless others and how do we use it to glorify Christ.
Yeah, and we want to be givers. Why? Because Christ was the ultimate giver. I mean, he went above and beyond for us. And so when we look at our own lives, especially if you have children, they need to see what it means to love your neighbor. And again, that could mean writing a check. It could mean having dinner at your house. It could mean taking a nice little gift at Christmas time, a hot chocolate or something, to all your neighbers.
I love hot chocolate,
yeah,
by
yeah,
the way.
And so those are,
in my address, it, no.
And those are things that we can do to start that mindset of being a giver and not
right.
someone that just spends.
Right.
And that's where we become true partners. At Hope Resource Center, I want partners. I don't want people that just want to write a check. I want them to feel like I'm part of this ministry.
It's the same.
And serve in the city.
It's the same for our church. That's why we don't have members. We often say the members, they just take. But partners, they buy into the mission, the vision, the organization. Let's do that with our funds.
Absolutely. Hey, Jason, let's do this again next week.
I'll see you then.
All right. Still my heart. Still my heart.